We begin the current Daf Maseches Bamitzia Daf Chav Zayin. We begin 7 lines down from the top of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Now the Mishnah defines for us exactly what are the criteria, what are the things that tell us that we have to announce something. How do we know that this is something that the person was not Meyayish, that they did not give up hope? And that his previous Mishnah has told us different items that Haril Shaloi, that you could keep. Other Mishnah has told us the Chayv L'Hachris, that you do have to announce. Others told us that Lo Yigaba, you don't touch it. Now our Mishnah is going to define for us the source and the Halacha, how we can know for ourselves, no matter what the item is, if it's something that there's a Chayv L'Hachris or not, that we have to announce it, and that the person is not Miyash. So the Mishnah says, Afasim lohisa b'chlal kol elu. That the truthfully, that the simla, the garment that's mentioned in the Torah, was really included in all these things, which the Gemara is going to explain what does it mean, kol elu, that it was already in this category of all these things. However, therefore, v'loma yatzis, so the question then is, so why did it go out? Why was it specifically mentioned by itself, as the Pasuk says, v'chin tasel l'sim losai, that so too you should do for the garments of your brother, in other words, a reference to another Jewish person that it's lost, that you have to return it to him, if it already was included in the category of lost items? And that the Mishnah tells us, l'haka she'lau, is to make a comparison from simla, from garments, to all other lost items. Lo'im l'cha to tell you as follows. Mas simla miyuchedes, just like a garment, is distinct for two reasons. One is sheyesh basimanim, it has identifying characteristics, features to the garment, and that is generally someone's clothing, someone's jacket, someone's shirt, has something that he could identify it as his own. It has a sign that he could show that it's his. And v'yesh l'tayvin. Moreover, it has someone that's claiming it, and that is what that means, is that there is an owner to the item that wants his object back. Because this is something, a garment, that was made by people. It didn't just come from Hefker by itself, not as something that was naturally in their environment. Someone had to have made it. That means someone owns it, someone made it, and it's someone that's going to want to get his item back. Af kol dover, so too that was coming to teach about everything that was a lost item. Sheyesh b'simonim, that has an identifying feature to it. And v'yesh le'tayvman, that has someone that's going to claim it. And what that's coming to exclude regarding the, as the Gemara will explain, the main factor over here regarding the garment is that it has someone that's claiming it, is that it's coming to exclude something where even if it would have a simon, if we know that the person was meyayish, that he gave up hope, then that would be excluded. And therefore, what we're saying by garment is it has these two features. It has a simon, and therefore that's a reason how a person would be able to get what he needs and he wouldn't give up hope. And moreover, that's the main point, that it has taivin, it's somebody that owns it, he's going to want to get his item back, then the halacha is chayav l'hachas. Then you have to announce such an object. That's why simla was mentioned separately, to tell us this halacha, that anything that has a simon, and therefore, that's the concept of taivin, that it has a, first of all, that he's an owner, there's someone that made it, there's a reason for us to think that someone's claiming it. And therefore, by the fact that there's a simon to it, now he's going to be able to get what he rightfully is his, because he could identify it and show that it's his. That's the halacha that we know. Now, any item that has those two features, that has a simon, and it's something that we know that someone wants to get his item back, chayav l'hachris, then you have to announce it. Now the Gemara asks on the terminology, on the wording of the Mishnah, that it said that, and truthfully, even simla, the garment was already included, b'chalelu. The Gemara asks, my b'chalal kalelu, what does it mean that it was already included in all these things, and then therefore, why do I have to say it separately? On that, Amar Rava, Rava says, b'chalal, it was already included in the pasuk in the Varim that says, kolavedas achicha. In that same pasuk it says, and that all the lost items, all the lost objects of your brother, you have to return to him. Leisucha lesam, you cannot turn a blind eye. Now, why do we have to mention separately in the pasuk that so too for his simla, for his garment, it's already including one of the lost objects of your brother? That's why the Mishnah tells us to teach that halacha, to compare it to everything else, to tell you that if it has a simon and it has someone that's an owner of the object, it was obviously made by a person, then you're going to have to announce it to return it to whoever it is. Now, regarding this pasuk and another pasuk over there in Devarim, Perek Chav Beis, one is Pasuk Aleph, one is Pasuk Gimel, which talks about the parasha of Asharas Aveda. Amar Rava, Rava says, Lomali the Kasr Rachamana, why did the Torah have to mention, in those two psukim, you find four different items. Besides Kalaveda Sachicha, all the lost items of your brother, it says Shor, an ox, it mentions Chamor, a donkey, it mentions Seh, lamb, Vesimla, a garment. Why does it have to mention all these separate items when it already says all the lost items of your brother, you have to return to him, you cannot turn a blind eye? Why does it have to mention these items specifically? So on that, Rava says, Tzrichi, we had to say these items. the Ikaz Rachman is similar, had the Torah written similar, and we already know that the Torah was writing similar, as the Mishnah told us, to compare to others. So if let's say that would be the only one we would have mentioned, so Havimina, I would have thought to say, Hanamili be'edin de gufa. Now, we said similar, the reason why it was written, to tell you that it's something that somebody made, so there's Taivin, there's someone that's claiming it, and there's also simonim in the object, because generally someone's garment has a simon. Now, then I would only think that when do you have to announce it and return it to somebody? When there would be edim, there would be witnesses in the object itself that's lost. V'simanim degufa. And then like the Mishnah says, if there would be identifying features in the object itself, that is in the shirt, in the jacket, I could tell you it's ripped over here, it's something in that. Then you would have to announce it to return it. And you wouldn't be loisucha l'sam, you wouldn't be able to turn the blind eye from returning it. Aval chamor, but I would think to say regarding a donkey, be'edim de'ukuf, if let's say you had witnesses that would be able to testify that the saddle on the donkey is yours. V'simanim de'ukuf, or if you have identifying features in the saddle itself, and that is you don't have any simon in the donkey itself, but you have a simanim, you have identifying features in the saddle, you could prove that it's the saddle is yours, but you have nothing to show that the donkey is yours, it looks like just any other donkey. Eima loy mahadrinan le, I would think over there you would not return it to him, because the object itself, which is the donkey that he wants to get back, that you don't have any identifying features. You have something on it that is yours, but you wouldn't have any identifying features or witnesses in the object itself. Maybe that would not be like similar or l'chol avayit z'chicha that you have rechiv to return. Kaz rachman l'chamar, so that's why the Torah writes the word donkey as an extra pasuk to make this drasha, da'afil l'chamar, that even a donkey, b'simane ha'okuf, that you have to return it even if he has identifying features even in the saddle, which is external to the donkey, it's not even part of the donkey itself. That is what we would be learning from the extra word of chamar, because why does it say chamar that we don't already know from simla and that from what it says l'chol avayit z'chicha? That's why the Torah says an extra terminology, an extra object of a donkey, to say that it's coming to tell you another chiddush of that even if it's an object that's not the object itself that you want to get back, which is the saddle, but you have a simon in that, that would be enough to return the whole item, both the saddle and the donkey. But then the Gemara asks, Shreve said the Kasav Rachman Olamali, what do I learn, and for the necessity of having the word ox and a person's lamb, what is that teaching? So that the Gemara says, sure, the reason why it says ox is da fil legizas navi, even for the shearings of the tail, that is even the hair at the end of the tail, even that you find you have to return. Viseh, and regarding a lamb, legizaisav, that's telling you even the shearings of a lamb, that even that you have to return. Now these are things you would think maybe you don't have to return. So that's why you have to say even the tail of an ox and even the shearings of a lamb. But then the Gemara asks, why would you need both of those to teach you that? V'lichtav rachman ashar, just let the Torah write the word ox, da'afila legizas navai, that even the shearings of the tail, which is totally less significant, it's all the way at the end of the tail, v'koshkin sel legizaisim, and most definitely I would know then that you would have to give back the shearings of a lamb, which is higher up on the ladder of things of importance. So why would I have to say shar and set to teach you that halacha? I would already know it from shar. So the Gemara says, Ella, you're right. It's difficult. Amar Rava, Rava says that there are two things, two words that are written in the Torah that are difficult. We don't know why it was written. First one is Chamor Debor L'Rebbe Yehuda. The word donkey, which is written in the parasha of one of the four mazikim, of those that are things that cause damage, that a person is liable to pay for damages that happen to it, which one of them is the one of bur, of a pit. If something falls in over there, he has to pay for the damages, whoever fell into his pit that he dug. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a person is liable for the damages of vessels, of different types of things like cups and bowls that fall into his bar, that he's chayiv. So according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, it's very difficult to know what the word chamar comes to teach us, that you're chayiv over there when it falls into a pit. Viseh, and this word lamb that it says by Daveda, by the parish of a lost object, ledivri hakol, that's according to everybody, Kasha, these two are difficult. What they're coming to teach us. Now, as Rashi says, because although it's difficult according to Yehuda, regarding the parsha of Bor, why it says the word Chamer, but according to the Rabbanim, they hold that the word Chamer comes to teach a lesson, and that's why it's said. That is Shur by the parsha of Bor, when it says that you're liable for the damages of your pit, it comes to teach you Veloy Adam. That yes, for an ox that falls in your chayiv, but not for a person. And chamar, when the donkey falls in your chayiv, the Rabbanan learned that comes to teach you v'loy kelim and not for vessels. That, so therefore, that's why it says it to say an exception to that, that you're not going to be liable for kelim. However, according to Rabbi Huda, the holds that you are chayiv on kelim. When it falls into a bar, you have to pay for the damages when it falls and it breaks. Then what does he need the word chamar for? So that's one thing that's difficult, at least according to one opinion. And then you have set over here, according to everybody, it's difficult. What does the word lamb come to teach that you have to return it? That we wouldn't know from already from it says Simla and specifically from Shur, that Shur teaches you even the shearings of the tail of an ox, most definitely the shearings of a lamb, and therefore that's difficult. We don't know what it's coming to teach us. But then the Gemara asks on that. Why is it so difficult that you don't know what the word seh, lamb, comes to teach you, that you have to return your brothers, the fellow Jews' lamb? Say that it's coming to teach you regarding the dung, which is the waste matter that comes out of the animal, that you have to return that to the owner. As Rashi explains, if it would have written just an ox, I would have thought to say, as we said before, it comes to teach you the shearings of the tail, but the dung, the waste matter, that's not significant, that's much lower down, and you wouldn't have to return that. That's why it says an extra pasuk in the Torah of seh, of a lamb, to teach you that you have to return the waste matter, because they would use it as fertilizer, so it had some value, but you would think not. That's why it has to teach you seh, to tell you that biggest chiddush on that level, that you have to return to that. Why don't you say that's what's coming to teach you? And that the Gemara says, "Glolim afkuri mafkalu." The waste matter that comes out of the animal, a person he considers it ownerless. Like Rashi explains, he says that for the one that found the animal and he put all the effort going in to return it, for that person he says, "You know what? I'm not going to expect you to give that back to me. You're giving me back my animal. You could keep because you worked so hard in returning it. You could go ahead and keep that and you could use it as fertilizer." And therefore, as Rashi says, it can't be that the word seh was coming to teach you this, because that's like what was already excluded from the term simla. I said in the Mishnah that a garment has to be something that has a simen, and similarly for all lost items, and that it has to have typhon, has to have things that are being claimed by people. This is not being claimed by the owner. He lets it, you know, you found my animal. Obviously, it had relieved itself at some point. You could keep that, and therefore it's considered ein loy typhon, and therefore it's already excluded from simla, that you wouldn't have to return it. And therefore, that's not what seh is coming to teach you. And therefore, again, we still don't know, and that's why we stay at Akasha. We don't know what the term seh was, because it cannot be teaching you glolim, waste matter, because that a person is mafker and he doesn't want it, and therefore that's not what you have to return it. Then the Gemara continues to ask, what do you mean? Vidilma, maybe the term seh comes to teach you, l'siman hudasa, comes to teach you regarding identifying features, and to teach you that you have to return an object, even if someone just gives a sign, an identifying feature in an object, without witnesses, as the Gemara explains. D'ibaylan, because later on the Gemara asks, simanim d'ayraisa od eidrabanan. Are identifying features in an object, is that a biblical, is that a din min ha-tayra, or is that only rabbinic? And therefore, as the Gemara later on wants to prove from our Mishnah, that you would learn that out from simla, from a garment, and say, what do you mean? You see in our Mishnah clearly that what we learn out from simla is that if it has a simen, that's what a word in the Torah is teaching you, this idea of a garment, if it has a simen and it has tovin, then you have to return it. But later on, the Gemara tells us that's not really true, as the Gemara is going to say on Amud Beis, that really the main thing you're learning out from the word simla is that it has to have someone that's claiming it. Because a garment was made someone, it's not something from the hefker, from just the environment, from the world. Someone made it, and therefore it's going to be someone that wants to get his thing back. And this, that it says simanim in the Mishnah, was only what's called kedinis, but it was just mentioned in just together with that idea, but it really the simanim itself is not the derasa de gedin. So therefore, the Gemara wants to say, since we don't have a source, we don't know if siman d'areis d'rabbanan. What do you mean? Let's say that this is why kasarach manaseh. The Torah wrote the word lamb to explicitly learn from the pasuk that says coming to teach you this halacha of simanim. Da'afilah b'simanim mehadrinan, that even with just identifying features, we know that edim always work. It's a pasuk that says that witnesses always decide the halacha. And that would clarify for us that this would be the person's object. But who would say that if I have a way of proving it, that would make you have to give it back to me? Maybe that's what says coming to teach you, is simanim d'araisa, and therefore that would answer our question that what the Gemara is going to ask later on. Our simanim, is that a d'araisa d'galach? Is that something that the Torah tells us? Or that the Rabbanan instituted it as a way of providing that people could get their objects back by showing an identifying feature? Let's say that that's what the extra word said. Why are we staying at Akasha? We don't know what it's for. I'll tell you what says for. Seh comes to teach you that just by giving a simen, you already have to return it. So why do you say it's Akasha? So Ami, the Gemara says, you cannot say that. And the reason is, midiktani luhutana, from the fact that the Tana of Mishnah, when he wanted to teach lisimanim gabi simla, that regarding the halacha of simanim, he teaches us regarding that where do you learn it out from? That we learn it out from the garment. And that is, just like together with the halacha of toivin, which we're saying that's a deraisa halacha, that we learn, we compare all avedas to similar to a garment, and we say just like a garment has to have toivin, has to have an owner that wants to get his object back, then you would have to announce it. But if something that ain't le toivin, that there's no one that wants it back, he's miyayish, then you wouldn't have to return it. Together with that, we said two components. One that yesh le toivin, and one that yesh le simanim. So you see clearly already that where is the Tana of HaMishnah supporting the idea, or at least mentioning it? Even if it's not the Raisa, maybe it's the Rabbanan, as the Gemara later on will discuss, if it's a proof from Simla or not. But where does the Tana mention it? By garments. Diktani, as we learned in HaMishnah, Ma Simla Miyuchad is just like we said, why is it mentioned separately? To teach you the following halacha, the following hekesh, that just like a garment is distinct. Sheyesh b'simanim v'yesh l'tayvin, that it has identifying features. As we said, generally someone's clothing has a simon that it could show that it's his. And it has someone that had made it, that's an owner that wants it back. Chayiv l'hachris, then you have to announce it. So af kol davar, that's regarding all other things we compare it to all lost objects. Sheyesh b'simanim, that it has identifying feature. V'yesh l'tayvin, it has someone that wants it. Chayiv l'hachris, then you have to announce it. So shmami no, what we see from the town of our Mishnah is deseh lav l'siman hudasa. That obviously the term in the Torah of a lamb is not coming to teach us regarding the halachas of Simon. And that is because it's obvious to the Tanav Mishnah that says obviously coming to teach a different halacha. And just we don't know. We the Amiram, we in the Gemara, we don't know what it's coming to teach. But obviously the Tanav of the Mishnah held that it's teaching you something else. And that's why we cannot resolve our question later on if Simonim Deraisa or not from Seh, because the Tana of the Mishnah obviously did not agree to that. Because if he did, he wouldn't say, oh, just like you see by Simla, that it has a Simon and Toivin, so to all lost items. Because then he wouldn't have mentioned it with Simla. He would have mentioned it from the biblical source of the extra word of Seh, that that's what it's actually coming to teach you, that halach of Simonim. Now, for the fact that it doesn't mention it with Seh, obviously Seh is not coming to teach that. And that's not the source of that Simonim is Deraisa. Because or else then he wouldn't mention it with Simla, which would be mentioned just by the way. He would mention the actual source. So must be says teaching something else, but we don't know. Us, the Gemara, the Amiram, who came much later time than the Tanaim and the Mishnah, we don't know what it's coming to teach, and therefore that's what we retain with Akasha, because we don't know what it is coming to teach. It doesn't seem like it's including anything that we would not have known from all the other things that are already mentioned in the Torah, and therefore we remain with Akasha. Now the Gemara continues on with a brisa related to these halachas of when is it that someone has to return something. So our Mishnah spoke about that it has to have a simon, and it has to have toivin, someone that still wants it, that he wasn't miyayish. Now the Gemara mentions a different halacha related to this. So Tanan Rabbanan lent in the brisa. It says in the pasuk in Devarim Chav Beis Gimel, that v'chein tasa l'chamari, as we mentioned, so too you should do for his donkey, v'chein tasa l'samlasai, so too you should do for his clothing, v'chein tasa l'chalaveda sechicha, and so too you should do for all the lost items of your brother. And that's what the Gemara quotes in the Brisa, Asher Tovid, that will be lost from him. Now what that means is that it has to be considered a lost object. And therefore, Prat La'aveda She'im Bashava Pruta. That excludes something that's not worth a pruta, which is the lowest denomination, the lowest currency that's worth something in the Torah. Because if it's not, then it's not what's called, it's not lost from him, because it's not a loss to be considered lost from the person, because it's not worth anything. And therefore, that's a halacha we teach regarding Hashavas Aveda. It's only if the object is Asher Tovid, it's lost from him. That means it's something that he needs, that he wants, it's a loss. Then you have to return it. Less than the Shavat Prut is not considered a loss. Rehuda says, it says in the Pasuk, Umitzasa. And it says later on that Pasuk, and if you find it. Which what that means is that it has to be considered a find. It's something that it was a metzia, like people say. You found something. Now, prat, that excludes la'aveda shein b'shava pruta, for a lost item. That's not worth a pruta, because then you didn't find anything. It's not a find, because it has no of real value. Therefore, that would exclude something that's less than the shava pruta, that then you would have no chiv of a shava aveda. So the Gemara asks, my benayu, what's the difference between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yehuda? They're both saying the same halacha. They're just learning out from different words. One saying it has to be considered lost from the owner to have to return it. And the other one saying that it has to be a find for the one who finds it to have to return it. But both of them are saying that what's considered a loss or a find is the same idea of a Shavapruta. And therefore, what is the difference between them that they're both mentioning different opinions? So the Gemara gives two approaches to this question. First approach is Amar Abaye, it says, Mashmoas Doshniki Benayo. The difference between them is just how they expound and how they find the halacha from the pasuk. And that is, they're both saying that it has to be Shava Pruta. But Mar Nafkale Masher Toivat. The Tanakhama is learning out from the words of that it has to be a loss to have to return it. Umar Nafkale Uma Mitzasa. And Rabbi Hud is learning it from the word and that it has to be found. That is, you're right, there is no halachic differences between the two of them. They're just finding a different source in the pasuk to teach the same halacha. Now the Gemara asks on this approach of Abaya. L'man de nafke lima asher toivet, according to Tanakhama, that learns it out from the word that it has to be considered a loss. Hayu mitzasa mayavale. What does he do with the word and that you find, that you have to return it? He's not learning out that it has to be something worthy of a find, that it has to be worth a shava pruta, because he already learns it from the word asher toivet. So what does he learn from those words? Why is the Torah mentioning that word? So on that, the Gemara says, "Hahumi ba'ilei, he needs it like Rabbi Noi." Like Rabbi Noi said, "Dam Rabbi Noi," that he said the following halacha, and that will teach us a specific halacha why it says umitzasa, and that the person finds it. Now, what that means is the asol liyode mashma. It sounds like from the pasuk that what does it mean? You found it. Just seeing it is not finding it. That it already came to your hand, and therefore what? So Rashi explains, even so, then you'll still say what the Chazal darshan elsewhere, that it says over there that you have to return that it was avedas achicha, the lost object of your brother, what that means a fellow Jew, and not the lost item of a non-Jew. What that teaches is that the lost item of a non-Jew is actually permitted. And that is as follows, because don't say that when we're excluding from the pasuk avedas achicha, that it's only the lost object of your brother, but not that of a non-Jew, it only would mean that you wouldn't have to go and exert yourself to go take it, to then return it to the non-Jew. But if you would already pick it up, that maybe then you would have to return it. That's what Umitzasa is teaching, that even if you already found it, which means you already picked it up, even then we'll say that Aveda Sechicha will teach you that only the lost object of your brother, of a fellow Jew, that you have to return, but that of a non-Jew you don't have to, which means to say that you could actually keep it even when you found it. Because or else I would say without umitzasa, it means to say that leisucha lesalem. You can't turn the blind eye from your brothers. That means you have to take it. But that of a non-Jew, you could be sucha lesalem. You could turn the blind eye. But when you actually pick it up, you would have to return it. That's what umitzasa teaches you, that even if you picked it up, you still do not have to return it to the non-Jew. Now the Gemara asks on the other opinion. Uleman de nafkeleu mio mitzasa, that according to Rabbi Huda, that he learns out the halacha of a shava pruta from that and it's found. So Hayasher Toivet Mayavadle, what does he do with the words of that it was lost, not to teach this halacha that the Tanakhama did, that it's worth a Shava Pruta, because he already knows that from Mitzasa. So what does he learn from those words? So that the Gemara says, Miboyle lik Rabbi Yechanan. He needs it for the following halacha which Rabbi Yechanan had said. Dam Rabbi Yechanan Meshum Ribshim Ben Yechay, Minayin La Aveda Sheshatfe Nahar Shehimuteres. And we had mentioned this halacha previously. Where do we know regarding a lost item that if the river flooded it and took it away, that is permitted under all circumstances, even if, let's say, it had a simon, as it says in the pasuk, that what is the source that you have to return a lost object? It's a pasuk that says, "Kein tasa l'chalaveda sechicha," that so too you should do for all the lost items of your brother. And there the pasuk says, "Asher toived mi menu umetzasa," that's lost from him, and you found it. On that is the drasha, "Misha avude he menu," only something that's lost from him, but but it's found by other people. In other words, it's around in the world. It's somewhere where it's accessible to people. It's just that the one who owns it has lost from him. He doesn't know where it is. Then you have to go ahead and return it to him. Yatsasuzu, this is excluding the case, that's lost from him, but and it's not even found by other people. Such a case, like when the river takes it away, where no one can get it, it's the river has taken it away, then there's no chiyuv of hashava whatsoever, even if it has a siman. Now, on that, Rashi explains that since we needed this drasha of mimenu, that it's lost from him, but not when it's lost from everybody, so therefore it had to also say the words asher toiva, because you can't just write the words mimenu, what would that mean, from him? That it's lost from him, only if it's lost from him, but everyone else can still get it, then you have to return it. But if it's lost from everybody, which is when the river takes it away, then if someone just happens to go out and save it, he doesn't have to return it because it was lost from everybody. That's what he does with the words Asher Toivad, because it's part of the larger pasuk of Asher Toivad Mimenu to teach you that it's only if it's lost only from him. But then the Gemara asks, V'idach, Rabbi Yehuda, Had Rabbi Noi, this halacha Rabbi Noi, that we said from the words U'mitzasa, that even if it comes to your hand, the lost object of a non-Jew, you still say that Aveda Sechicha, that only the lost object of a Jew you have to return, but not of a non-Jew. Minale, where does he know this halacha, that even if it already came to your hand, you don't have to return it? Because he can't learn it from a mitzasa, because Rabbi Yehuda learns from the word mitzasa, this halacha, that it has to be a fine, it has to be worth at least a shava pruta. So where would he know Rabbi Noi's halacha from? So that the Gemara says, Nafkele me umetzasa. He learns it out from that word, but he learns it out from the extra vav. And that extra vav sounds like it's saying that even though it was already found, still, even then, it still will say Aved Sechicha. So the mitzasa without the vav is teaching you that it has to be mitzia, has to be a fine. So that's what we know Shavu Pruta. From the extra vav, that sounds like, and it was found already, which means to say that it already came to you, not that you find it now that you are about to pick it up. Even though it was already found, still we're going to say Aved Sechicha, but below, if the kachavim, however, if it's the lost item of a non-Jew, you don't have to return it, even if it already came to him. Now the Gemara asks in the reverse. Vidach and the Tanakama had Rabbi Yechanan Minale. This halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, that if it's lost from everybody, when the river takes it away, that you don't have to return it, where does he know it from? Because he can't learn it from Asher Toivat Mimanu, that it's lost from him, but not lost from everybody, because he needs Asher Toivat to teach you, as we said, that it has to be considered a loss, has to be worth a Shavu Pruta to have to return it. But if it's not, then you don't have to. So where would he know this halacha of Rabbi Yechanan? So now the Gemara says, Nafkele Mimanu. He learns it out from the words from him. And that is, Asher Toiva teaches you one thing, that it has to be a loss. But then why does it say the words mimeno, from him? Oh, only if it's from him. But it's from everybody, then like Rabbi Yechanan said, then you wouldn't have to return it when the river takes it away. But then the Gemara says, however, v'idach, but Rabbi Yehuda, mimeno loy mashmalei. To him, it doesn't seem like that you would be able to learn just from the word mimeno, a separate drasha than the words Asher Toiva. He says, if Asher Taivat is teaching you one thing, then that's part of the larger pasuk of Mimenu. And therefore, he doesn't learn like Rabbi Yochanan to say, Asher Taivat is teaching you this halacha of a Shavu Pruta, and Mimenu teaching you a different halacha. Rather, Mimenu is part of Asher Taivat, and it's all coming to teach you the halacha of Rabbi Yochanan. Therefore, since he doesn't have Asher Taivat to teach you that, he learns it out from, as we said before, a mitzasa, that it has to be considered a mitzia, a found object. So that was one approach in the Gemara, that Abaye said that truthfully there's no halachic difference between the two of them. They're just learning out from different sources, and therefore they have to figure out what they would do with each other's psukim, and they find sources for that. Now the Gemara brings a second approach. Rava Amar Rava says, there is a machlekes between the two of them. How so? Pruta shehuzla. Regarding the value of a pruta that's in the object, that then devalues, it goes down in price. And that is when it was lost, it was worth a shava pruta. But then when it was found, it already was worth less than the shava pruta. Ikibinayu, that's the case that will be a difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. As the Gemara explains, Man da amar mi asher toivad, according to the Tanakama, that learns this halacha that it has to be worth a shava pruta from the words that if it was lost from him. Now, Ika, in this case, when it was a shava pruta, then it went down in value, that by the time the person was finding it, it already wasn't worth a shava pruta, but when it was lost, it was, then you would have to return it, because it fits into Asher Toivat. It was a loss from him, from that person. Umanda amo mitzasa, however, according to Yehuda, that learns out from the words, and it was found, leka. In this type of case, there would be no fine, because when I got it, it already was worth less than the shava pruta, so I know for you it was a loss, but for me it wasn't a fine, and therefore I wouldn't have to return it. That's what Rava says. But then the Gemara asks on this. How can you understand this? Ulamanda amasher taivad, but according to the Tanakama, that learns it out from that it was a loss, and you're saying in such a case it was a loss, because it was worth a shava pruta when it was lost. It just wasn't worth a shava pruta when it was found. But habi'inon umitzas avaleka. But ultimately, the Pasuk says both terms. It says that it was a loss, and it says, and it was found. Now, in this case, there is no umitzasa. There is no that it was found, because it already went down in price before it was found, and it wasn't worth a pruta. So how can you say that this would be the machlekes between the two of them? But he also has to explain the pasuk umitzasa, and therefore how can you say that if it was a value of a pruta and then it went down, that according to that the opinion of Tanakama, you would still have to return it, but it's not mitzasa, so why would you have to return it? So the Gemara says, Ella, rather, the reverse type of a case. Pruta shehukra ikibinayu. The difference between the two of them would be when it was worth less than the pruta when it was lost, then it went up in price, And then by the time the person found it, it already was worth a pruta. So therefore the Gemara explains that manda amar u'metzasa, according to Rabbi Huda, that he says you learned it from the word and it was found. Se'ika, in this case, when it was found, it already was worth a pruta. And therefore, as we said before, that this is something that's the lowest amount that's necessary, that's considered significant, that you would have to return it, because it's a find, and therefore at the time when you found it, it was a find, you would have to return it. According to the Kama, that learns about from, and it was lost from him, it's Leka, it wasn't lost from him, because when it was dropped from him, it was something that wasn't worth much. Then later on, it became the biggest thing, and now it's really worth something more. And therefore, in such a case, you're not going to have to return it, because even though this card went up in price, up until now, it wasn't worth anything, and now it's suddenly worth something, it doesn't make a difference, because it's not a Sheteva. But then the Gemara asked the same question it asked before. But according to the Rebbe Huda, that you're saying that in this case, you would have to return it, because when it was found, it already was went up in price, and it's already worth a pruta. But habi'inan ashtayvad v'leka. But he also has to explain the first half of the pasuk, that it was lost from the person, and it wasn't, quote, lost from the person, because it wasn't a loss. When he dropped it, it wasn't worth anything, this card. It wasn't significant. And therefore, why would you have to return it? Although there's a mitzasa, but there's no ashtayvad. So rather, the Gemara explains the following case, which this will be the case that's the difference between the two opinions. We're talking about a pruta shehuk, or we're talking about a pruta that was up in price. In other words, it was worth a pruta. For huzah, then it went down in price. Then v'chazer v'huk, and then it went back up in price. Ike b'nai, that's the case that's between the two of them, as the Gemara explains. Manda amasher taivet, according to the Tanna Kama that learns it up, that if it was lost from your brother, from another Jew, ika, that you have, because you have both being lost and found. When it was lost, it was worth a pruta. When it was found, it was worth a pruta. So therefore, since the main halacha is learning from Asher Taivad, umitzas is not a contradiction because it was a pruta then too. However, umandam umitzasa, according to the one that's learning out from the word, and it was found, what he learns is, be'inon de'ispa shir mitzia, it has to have the amount of a found object, mishas aveda v'achas mitzia, from the time that it was lost all the way through till the time that it was found. Because if any time in between, then you don't have a true umetzasa, because it wasn't this item that was lost that you're finding. Because in the meantime, it went down in price to less than the pruta that removed it from that continuity, from an aveda, from asher tova to umetzasa. It didn't continue all the way to umetzasa because it went down in price. That is Rabbi Huda's opinion that he learns from umetzasa. He would say in that case, one would not have to return it because it's not a complete from asher tova to metzasa, because in the meantime it went down below that value, and that's not something that a person has to return. But according to the Tanna Kama, they learned the asher tova. You have asher tova, but what are you going to do with a metzasa? You had that too, because when it was found, it was already back up to apruta. The fact it went down in the middle, that's not significant. As long as you have asher tova and you have a metzasa, that's the opinion of Tanna Kama, that then you would have to return it. But again, according to Behuda, this is what Rava's opinion is, not like Abai, who said that they both hold the same. They just learned that from different words in the Pasuk. Rava says there would be a halachic difference regarding the case of when it was worth a pruta, went down in the meantime. When it was lost on the floor, it went down to less. Then it went back up before the person found it. And they found it, that then you would have this machlekes between Tanna Kama and Behuda. Now the Gemara continues on this halacha that we had mentioned before in the Gemara regarding when we wanted to say that maybe a lamb should be the source for this halacha, and it's mentioned in our Mishnah. The Gemara asked the following question. Ibailu, they asked, Simanim de'iraisa, this halacha that we know, that when you lose an object, and you can get it back from someone by giving him a sign, by showing him an identifying feature, I could prove to you that it's mine with a siman. Is that a de'iraisa de'gal halacha? Is that something that's mentioned in the Torah? Or that really minat Torah, just by showing you, fine, you proved it with a sign, but that's not enough of a proof if you don't have edim with witnesses saying testimony that it's yours, and that it's oid rabbanan, and that it's and maybe it's only rabbinic. Maybe the rabbanan instituted that yes, you should have to return it even though just with a siman. Again, is it the raisa or the rabban? So the Gemara asks, my nafkamina, what's the difference? You have to keep the halachas anyway. If it's the raisa or the rabbanan, what would be the difference? So the Gemara continues on the base where it says the difference. La haduri get isha. Regarding to have to return a divorce document of when a husband divorces a wife, which that was lost from the messenger who was coming, bringing this get, and he lost it before he gave it to her. The question would be, would you return that besimanim with identifying features? As the Gemara explains, Iyamer deraisa, if you say that this halacha of simanim is a deraisa de galacha, it's something that's a biblical, it's something that's mentioned in the Torah, then madrinan, you would return it. because this halacha of get is no different than any other item. The Torah tells you that if there's a simon, you return it. So this messenger who dropped the divorce document, if he says, I can prove to you with a simon, so then you give it back to him and he goes and delivers the get to the woman and she gets divorced. However, v'yamid rabbanon, if you say that this a halacha of simonim is only rabbinic halacha, then kiyav rabbanon tekanta, when would we say that rabbanon instituted this takana of simonim? That, as the Gemara will later on explain, what exactly is this takana that we're saying that they made this takana, that it would apply. But we would only say that applies b'mamayna, with monetary things, with money, because that's a famous halacha that hefker bezin hefker. The bezin could go ahead and declare ownerless another person's monies. So therefore, they could say that even though, let's say, min hatera, you don't have to return something that someone comes with a simon, maybe it's someone else's, but it doesn't make a difference. Bezin has the authority. They could say that we declare it ownerless and we let you give it to this person with a simon. As the Gemara later on will explain what would be the reason why the Rabban instituted this halacha of simon. But we would only say it regarding money. Aval b'isurim, regarding things that are prohibitions, things like gerushin, like eshes ish, these types of halachas of being married to a man, these are things that are prohibitions, are isurim lavan in the Torah, le'av rabbana tekanta. Rabbana would not have made a takana in saying that you could go ahead and return it to the shlich to then divorce a woman to make all these halachas that she'll marry someone else based on a takana drabbana. We didn't say it over there because that is the biblical halacha that we didn't say. We said it maybe only by money, which is hefker bezin hefker. So what's the halacha? Are simanim deiraisid, and then you would even return the get to the shliach? Or is it not? It's only drabbana and you would not return it to the shliach. So Tashima, the Gemara says, come in here and let's prove it from our Mishnah. And this is something that we had mentioned already before in the discussion when we were talking about simanim, if you could learn it from se or not. Our Mishnah said, afas simlo hoysa b'chlal kalelu. That truthfully is that garments were already included in all the lost objects of your brother. That says kalavei desachicha. So then why was it specifically excluded and mentioned by itself? Mishnah said to compare all the avedis to a simla, to a garment, and to teach you the following halacha. That mas simla, which this garment, which is mentioned in the Torah, is miyachedes, is distinct. Sheyesh l'simanim, A, it has identifying features in the garment, because generally someone's clothing has a simon in it. V'yesh l'tovin, and it also has someone that's going to claim it because it was obviously made by somebody. It didn't just pop up. It wasn't grown on the ground by itself organically. And therefore, it's someone that owns it and he wants to get it back. So too, that's the halacha that's going to be the chayav laharchas. In such a case, you have to announce it. Av kol davar sheyesh li simanim v'yesh li tovin, so too regarding all lost items. If it has an identifying feature and there's someone that still wants it, it wasn't miyayish, chayav laharchas, you're going to have to announce it. So you see from our Mishnah that simanim deiraisa, clearly we're saying that the word simla, which is mentioned in the Torah, teaches you two criteria, two factors, two ideas. One that it has to have a simon, and one that it has to have tevin. So you see that the concept of simanim is a deiraisa de galacha. And that the Gemara says in no. Tana, the Tana of our Mishnah, tevin itzrichale. Really what the Pasuk is coming to teach you when it says simla is this concept, this halacha of tevin, of someone that's claiming it. And what that's coming to exclude, as we had mentioned in the Mishnah, is if someone already gave up, he was b'yayish, and he declares it ownerless through the process of hefker, that is what the Pasuk is teaching with Simla. It has to be that there's a tovin, there's a claimer, there's someone that wants it, then you have to announce it, but if you know that he really would be b'yayish, then you don't have to. Simanim kedi nispa, the concept of simanim that is mentioned by the Tana of the Mishnah, that we will learn now from Simla, was really only mentioned as a secondary, and that is, it really that's not included in the pasuk. Rather, but he just was what's called asmechinu akra. He just put it together with the pasuk because a simon is generally something that a person has that even if let's say it's a din drabanan, but he knows he has a way of getting it back. Therefore, he's not going to be miyayish. So that would be a halacha of yeshle tayvin. But really, the halacha of simanim is not what's included in the halacha of simla. It's only the halacha of that it has to be someone that's claiming, and really it could be that simanim is only a din drabban. So that's not a right. So the Gemara says, Tashma, come in here, that related to what we had learned in Amen Aleph, that we could prove to you that it's going to be a din deraisa. Because we went through a discussion, what was the purpose of mentioning all these other things in the Torah of shur, chamur, simla, and seh? What was the purpose of mentioning them? It already says in the Torah, l'chal aveda zechicha. So Rava told us that chamor, the reason why it says donkey, is to tell you b'simane ukif, that even though we would only know from a simla, that if there you have the simen or edis in the object itself, maybe there you have to return it. But by a donkey, where if let's say you only have the simen in the saddle, Maybe you wouldn't have to return the donkey itself because it's not part of the object itself. And that Rabbah says, that's why the Torah says an extra word of chamar of donkey to teach you this halacha, that even if the simon is in the saddle. But one thing you see is that it's teaching you that the simon, which is the reisadig halacha, we're learning from the word chamar, that even if that simon is only in the saddle, you would have to return it. I thought the Gemara says no. Ema be'edei okif. Say that what we'd be learning of an extra word of chamar is not that we'd be learning out the simon is in the saddle, but rather that there are edim, there's witnesses, that if there are witnesses that recognize that that saddle belonged to that person, then we return not only the saddle, but we return the donkey too. But again, there wouldn't be any proof that if there would, that simonim would be a deres de galacha. It would mean that the edim are in the saddle, that then you would have to return the donkey to him with the saddle. So again, there's no raya. So the Gemara says, Toshima, come in here, we can bring a raya from the following pasuk. There's a pasuk in the Varm that says, V'hoye imcha, that it should be with you, this lost item of your brother, adroi shechicha oisai, until your brother seeks it out. Now, the question on the pasuk is, V'chitala al daitcha, would it enter your mind, she'itnenu that you should give it to him, kaidmi she'idushena, before he seeks it out? You don't know whose it is to give it to him. What's the pasuk teaching you that you should be, it should be with you? In other words, you shouldn't give it away until your brother comes looking for it. What do you mean? How can you give it to him before he comes seeking for it? So Ella, what the pasuk really means is der shehu. You should seek him out. What does that mean? Imramaihu oyenaramai. Is he a tricker or is he not? Is he someone that's sly and he's faking? It's not really his. Or is it not? That is, you shouldn't just give it back to the first person that says, oh, you found something? Oh, it's mine. Oh, it's yours? Okay, great, it's yours. No, you have to be der shehu, that the pasuk says, adrei shechicha oisai, until you go ahead and you seek him out to know the truth if it's him or not. Now, so the Gemara concludes, my lav b'simanim. Now, how would you figure out if he's a ramai or not? If he's someone that's a faker or not? With simanim. Oh, yeah, it's yours? Tell me, what color is it? How tall? How long is it? Is there a rip anywhere? You can start asking all these questions. Now, what are those halachas? Those are what's called simanim. He's giving you identifying features in that. That's mentioned in the pasuk of Adrei Shechicha Isai. So you see that the halacha of simanim, to have to return it, is already included in the Torah. So you see simanim deraisa. Then the Gemara says, loy. Be'edim, what we're talking about is with witnesses. How would you seek out your brother to see if he's telling the truth, that it's his item or not? It's not by asking him all these questions that he'll give simanim. It means he has to bring witnesses, that those two witnesses will say, yes, we know that it's his, and then you return it to him. But again, there's no source to say that simanim would be deraisa or not. So the Gemara says, Toshima, come in here from a Mishnah Masechtas Yevamos. The Mishnah says, Ein me'idin, we cannot say testimony, and that's regarding a person that died, and a person's wife, a man's wife, cannot remarry until he either divorces her or he dies, because she can't be married to more than one person at a time. So if he dies, we have to be able to tell her that he's dead so that she can remarry, or else she's not allowed to be able to remarry. So a person could say testimony that he saw that the person had died, that she could remarry. However, the Mishnah tells us that you cannot say this testimony, Ella al parts of haponim, only with the figure of his face, im hachaitim, together with the nose, and that is, he saw the person's face with his nose, then he could say, I saw him dead, and because I saw his face, I didn't just see his foot, I didn't see all these, I saw his face and his nose, I could tell you that I saw that he was dead, and now the woman could remarry. And the Mishnah tells us that, afa pishe yesh simanim begufay ubekelem. And this halacha would be that she cannot remarry if he's saying testimony, even if he has identifying features in his body or in his garments, doesn't make a difference. Even though he says, well, I saw his suit, I saw his body, it doesn't make a difference. She cannot remarry unless he says, I saw his face with his nose. So the Gemara says, Shema Minoah, what we hear from this Mishnah in Yevamos is Simanim Lav Deraisa. So obviously, identifying features is not a biblical Deraisa de Halacha. Because if it was, then she'd be able to remarry just with simanim. That if he gives a simon in his clothing or in his body, that should be enough. Why does he have to see the face with the nose? Obviously, that simanim is not deraisa, and that's why it doesn't work for deraisa degalocha of remarrying of isurim. And that answers our question. I thought the Gemara says no. Amri, I could say that what the Mishnah meant when it said gufay, that it won't help to say edis, to say simanim, to that when the ed is giving a simon in his body, is talking about d'aruch v'goitz. It's talking about that he said how tall he was, how short he is, because that's not a simon. Because there's many people that are that tall, that short. Therefore, that's what he meant, it's not a simon. But if something that would be a clear identifying feature, yes, that would be a simon. It's just that it won't help to say his body, how tall and short he is, because many people are 6'2 or 5'7, and therefore just saying that, that's not a simon, and therefore, although maybe simon would be deraisa, that wouldn't be, and that's why the Mishnah over there in Yevamos was excluding it. And regarding Kalev, regarding his garments, why that's not a simon, I mean, we're trying to say that maybe simon are deraisa, but then why does the Mishnah over there say that it won't help to have the woman remarry by saying a simon in his garments, in his clothing? That's for one of two reasons. Either because, as the Gemara says, the chashina l'sheila, we're concerned that maybe it was borrowed. Maybe he lent his garments to somebody else. Yes, I know his suit. I've seen him wear this a million times. You know what? Maybe the time he saw that dead person, he had lent it to somebody else. And that other person is who he saw that he's dead. And therefore, but maybe if it was a clear simon, maybe then you would go ahead and be able to have the woman remarry based on that. It's just that it's not a clear simon because, again, as we said, the body is many people are that tall and that short. And regarding his garments, maybe he lent it to someone else. But then the Gemara asks on this teretz, Ichashin l'sheila, if you're telling me that we're concerned about maybe things are borrowed and lent, and that's why it's not a good simon to say that it's clothing that she should go ahead and remarry, even if you're going to say simon deraisa, but here it's not a clear simon. But then the question is, we just mentioned before, chamor b'simani ukif, that you could return the donkey and you have to return it with just saying identifying features in the saddle, mehichem adrinan. How do you return with the saddle? Maybe it was loaned. Maybe someone borrowed it. And therefore, this that was found is not his because he lent his saddle to someone else. Just like you're saying that you can't say witnesses, you can't say testimony on this person by the clothing that he's wearing because maybe it was lent to someone else. On that, the Gemara says, Amri, no, that's not a question because ukif, a saddle, le sh'uli inshi ukf. A person does not lend a saddle. Now, a saddle is that part that's on top of the donkey that people ride on. And the reason is why that's not loaned, it's not borrowed, and therefore there's no such a concern to say that how could you return it based on the saddle, maybe it was borrowed. Mishum de misakiv le'lacharma, that scrapes up the donkey by taking it off and putting it on and moving it from one to the other, that's going to ruin the back of the donkey, and that's why people don't lend that. Ibai Seima, or another approach to Gemara says why the garments of the person is not a simon, is because we're talking about kelov b'chivari u'besumki. We're talking about that when you're saying, I could prove you that this person, that woman's husband, is the one that died because I saw his clothing, is he says that it was white or that it was red. Now, that's not a simon because there's many clothing that are white or red, and therefore that is not an identifying feature. However, truthfully, we could say that if something would be a clear simon, that would be an identifying feature, then maybe that would be simanim deraisa, and it would work, and therefore maybe you could return even a get isha that falls from a person. Therefore, the Gemara has yet to conclusively prove if simanim deraisa or drabban. But now the Gemara goes back and asks, so one of the approaches we had regarding the person's clothing, why that's not a simon, is because the first teretz the Gemara gave was because we're concerned about it being loaned. And then we asked, well, what's with the saddle of the donkey? That we said people don't loan. But then the Gemara asks, Elohad Tanya, but this that we learned in the Braisa, regarding that what we had just mentioned before, that if you have a shliach that's bringing a get, and he loses it. Now, if later on, Matzei Kosher Bekis, he finds it tied onto his pouch where he keeps his monies, or a ba'arniki, or he finds it in his purse, ubetabas, or he finds it on his ring, or he finds it amongst all his stuff, amongst all his kalim, his utensils that he has in the house. So that the halach is, afil l'zman merubi, even if it's much later time. Now, as Rashi explains, what's the chiddush in that? That although the Gemara says, there's a Mishnah Masechtas Gittin, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Alef, that says, that if someone's bringing a get, a divorce document, from the husband to the wife, and he loses it, if he finds it at a much later time, it's going to be puzzle, because we have to suspect that maybe this is a different get with someone else that had the same, he had the same name, and she had the same name, and really it's not the same get. However, here we're going to say that it's kosher. Since it was tied on to his stuff, we're going to say that it's kashin. Now, the Gemara concludes the question. If you say that we're concerned about things being loaned, a person's clothing, a person's utensils, he loans to other people, and that's why we said that when the person's dead, even though simanim is deraisa, you cannot prove that he was the one that was dead by his clothing, because people lend clothing, maybe he borrowed it, someone else borrowed it from him. But then, kimatzei kasher bekis, amai kasher. Why do we say that although when something is found after a long time, this divorce document, you usually can't use it? Because maybe it's really a different get that someone had maybe the same names. But here, when it's tied onto his stuff, to his clothing, to his utensils, that then we say, okay, this is obviously the one that I had from that person that sent, and I lost it, I couldn't find it. Now let me go ahead and deliver the divorce document. Why is it kosher? Nechish l'sheila. We should be concerned about something that was loaned. In other words, maybe he loaned his clothing, his pen, his garments, whatever it is, to somebody else, and that person tied on that divorce document. And therefore, although that it has the same names, maybe it was a different one that person tied on. And therefore, it's a different get. So how can we say that you can go ahead and divorce the woman with it? Just like we say, you can't say that this woman can marry someone else, that her husband died because he saw the clothing, because maybe someone else borrowed it. Here also, how can you say because it's tied onto your objects that it was obviously that get? Maybe you loaned it to someone else. And he also didn't want to forget, so he tied it onto the object, but it was yours, and then he returned it with that. And therefore, how can we go ahead and say that the get is kosher in such a case? So Amidei said, similar like the answer regarding the saddle, that kis va'arniki v'tapas, regarding this money pouch and the purse and the ring, loy mishali inshi. People do not loan these things, and therefore there's no concern to say that maybe it's from someone else. As the Gemara explains, kis va'arniki, regarding a wallet, a money pouch, and a purse, the reason why people do not lend it is mishum de mesamni, because of the omen, the simen, that they say, oh, it's a bad omen, it doesn't look good for a person, that if he lends his wallet, his purse, it's bad for his mazel, for his luck, so to speak, because here he is giving over his source where he keeps all his wealth. To lend it to someone else is not good, and therefore people don't lend it. V'tabas mishum de mezayif, and the reason why people don't lend their rings is because of forgery, as Rashi explains. Generally, each man would have a seal that was recognizable on his ring that would be his signet. It would show that it was something that was his. And when he was sending something that wanted to be concealed, that it should stay closed and no one should open, he would cover it and seal it with his ring to show that if it's sealed, that means it was coming from me, that no one opened it. And therefore, no one lends out their rings because maybe someone else is going to forge his seal based on his seal because they're going to have it. And then they're going to forge all his, and they're going to send things with messages as if it was coming from him. Therefore, people do not send it. And therefore, that's why in this case, we don't have to be concerned that maybe it was someone else's, because you don't lend these types of things. However, generally, maybe we would be concerned for She'ela, and that's why it doesn't work in the case of when the person had died by his clothing, because maybe it was loaned to someone else. And therefore, the truth is, it could be that maybe Simanim Adai Raisa, and although over there, by the case of the person that was died, that we can't use that, that's because that was an exception, as we said, Kizchashin L'Sheila. And therefore, the Gemara has yet to conclude conclusively what is the halacha, or Simanim Adai Raisa, or Drabban. So the Gemara continues, it says, let's say that this Shaila that we have, which we have yet to prove, if Simanim Adai Raisa, Drabban, it's a Machoikis Tanoim. As the Gemara says, the Raisa says, Ein Me'idin Al Hashuma. A person cannot say testimony on the wart of a person. That is, if someone wants a woman to be able to remarry, and he's saying that I could prove to you, I know that the husband had died. And you know how? This person that was dead, he had this type of wart on that part of his body. And that's the simon that I could tell you that person that died, I know was the husband. So in that, the Tanakhama says that's not a testimony that's good, that's valid to prove that the husband was dead, to be able to have the woman remarry. But however, he says, you don't need necessarily just the face of the person with his nose to say, I saw him dead. Even if you find some identifying feature in his body, like a wart, some type of a mole, then that's enough to show that this is the person that died. So the Gemara says, my love, it doesn't make sense to say this exactly what they're arguing about. The Tanakhama sover Simanim Drabanan. The Tanakhama holds that identifying features is only rabbinic halacha. Therefore, regarding Eshes Ish, a married woman, which is a Dairaisa Diga Isser, it's an Isser in the Torah, so you don't rely on Simanim in such a case, and therefore he says that Ein Me'idin, that's not enough to say testimony to allow her to remarry a different man. Whereas Ve'alazah ben Ma'avoy sover, he holds Simanim Dairaisa, no, Simanim is a Dairaisa Diga halacha, and therefore it works for even Dairaisa Diga things, like remarrying another man, and that's why we're saying a clear Simon, like a wart, that would allow. So it seems like this question we have happens to be a Machalikas Hanayim. And that the Gemara gives three approaches to say that no, it's not necessarily this is what they're arguing about. Could be they're arguing about something else. I'm a Rava. So Rava says, the Kuli Alma, Simon Dereis. You could say that both opinions hold that Simonim are Dereis. But then the question becomes, so if they're the Dereis, so why wouldn't you be able to remarry based on that? So on that, V'hacha b'shuma mitsuya b'ben gila kimifki. What they are arguing about regarding something like a wart, something like a mole on a person, if that could be found on someone that was what's called Ben Giloy. Now, what Ben Giloy means is, Rashi says, he was born at the same time, so usually Ben Giloy means the same age, but what Rashi means, that means to say that he was born in the same mazel, that there are many different mazalas, constellations in the heavens, and those are things that create certain characteristics in the person. The machlekes between them was, would you find the same wart, the same mole on a person that is found by somebody else that's born at the same time? And therefore, the Gemara explains, Marsa b'tanakama holds shuma mitsuya b'ben gilei. Something like a mole that a person has, like a birthmark that's on the person, that's found by anyone. That can be found by people that are born in the same age group that was by the same mazel at that person. And therefore, you can't use that as an edus, as a siman to show that the person could remarry because you saw the husband that was dead because of that mole, that birthmark, because that's something that many people have at that same of a ben gilo. It's not necessarily just that person. However, Elazar ben Mavoi held that shuma ena mitzui ben gilo. No, a birthmark, a mole, a wart that this person has from birth is not found by someone else that was born under the same mazel. It's just this person that has it. And therefore, he holds that that would be considered something that you could get married because they both hold simanim deraisa. And therefore, again, it's not clear that they're arguing about it. They could both agree simanim deraisa, but the question is, would we find this by other people or not? And even though simanim deraisa, but it's not a clear siman if other people have the same identifying shuma. Ibai sema, or a second approach to Gemara says, that you could even say the kulama shuma ena mitzui b'ben gilui. You could even say that everyone holds that you wouldn't find it by someone else. Again, if you wouldn't find it by someone else, then the question becomes, if they're holding simanim deraisa, so why does the Tanna Kamma hold that you cannot say testimony based on that? What you are arguing about is regarding a simon that tends to change after a person dies. That's what they're arguing about. In other words, they argue, do we say that something like a birthmark is something that tends to change or that it doesn't change? And that is, if let's say when he was alive, that birthmark was black. When he dies, does it become white or not? Or let's say the reverse. If it was white, could it become black after he dies? Marsa, but Tanakam held, simanim asuyim lehishtanis la'achar misa. A simon tends to change after a person dies. And therefore, you're going to say, wait a second, I saw he had a white mark on his body in this place. That's not a raya, because now that he's dead, it could have changed from when it was black when he was alive or white when he was alive. And therefore, when you're finding this, it's not necessarily the same person. That's why you can't use it as a simon, even though you say simonim are deiraisa, and even if you say that it's not found by Ben Giloy. Marsav, however, Elazar ben Mavoi held, simonim ein asuim lehishtanis la'achar misa. No, they don't tend to change. If it was black when he was alive, it's going to be black when he's dead. And therefore, if he's still black, it's obviously the black one that this person had when he's alive. And therefore, since we say that simonim are deiraisa, and we say that you don't expect it by Ben Giloy, by someone that was born in the same mazel, therefore, since it doesn't change, we're going to say that it's going to be considered a good siman to be able to identify this woman that she could be able to remarry. Ibai same, or another approach you could say, again, not to say that they're arguing about if siman deraisa or not, is the kuli alma shuma ina suyi lehishtanis lachamisa. No, they all agree that a mole, a identifying mark from birth, does not change after a person dies. V'simanim derabbanan, and they all agree that, not like the first two terutzim, that simanim would deraisa, but rather that a siman is only rabbinic halacha. But then the question becomes, if it's only rabbinic, how do we understand Elazar ben Mavoi's opinion that you can help a woman get remarried based on that siman if it's only rabbinic? But in that Torah, we don't recognize that. So how can you go ahead and say testimony to allow a woman to remarry? V'hacha b'shuma siman muvik hu kamifki. What they are arguing about is regarding, do we say that a birthmark is something that was called a siman muvik? It's a clear-cut siman that there's no doubt about. And that is, as the Gemara explains, Marsav Elazar ben Mavoi holds shuma simen muvaku. It's a clear-cut identifying feature, and that is, even if you'll say that the concept of simanim is rabbinic, you would still be able to rely on that, because it's almost like something of logic. In other words, it's something that, although it's not a deristic halacha, it would be something that you could rely on, even in allowing the woman to remarry, because it's so clear-cut that this is that person, because who has this exactly like that on that person's part of the body? And therefore, Elazar ben Mavoi holds that even if simanim derabbanan, she could remarry. Umar Savatanikama holds no, that shuma lav simanim muvaku. A birthmark is not such a clear-cut mark. And therefore, since it's only a rabbinic halacha, we can't rely on it to allow an iser eshes ish deraisa. So again, that's what the Gemara says. We have not proven this to be a machlokes, but we have proven that they either both hold simanim deraisa, and like at the first two terutzim, or simanim derabbanan, and they're arguing about possibly different points, or they could be arguing about if it's Simon Deraisa or Drabonan, but it's not clear that that's exactly what they're arguing about. Now, the Gemara continues with another statement of Rava. Based on this last teretz that the Gemara said, that we said that maybe they both hold the Simon is Drabonan, and they're arguing about if Shuma is a Simon Muvik or not. So Rava, so I'm a Rava. If you're going to say, as we're assuming in this third teretz of the Gemara, that to explain that they're not arguing if Simon deraisa drabanan, but rather they both agreed that it's drabanan, so then how do we return a lost object with a simon that's only rabbinic halacha? As Rashi explains the question of the Gemara, what takana, what institution did the Chacham see with this idea of instituting this halacha of simanim to enter into a doubtful area, which is to return money to someone that you don't know that it's his? And that is, min ha-tayra, if you don't have edim, witnesses saying, we know that it's his, there is no chiv to return it because I don't know for sure that it's his. But then the Rabbanan came along and they said, you know what? Even if you just prove with a simon that it's yours, we're going to return it. Why? Why did they say this halacha? Why did were they misakin this halacha of simanim? And that the Gemara says, d'nichale l'maitze aveda, because it's preferable to the one who found the lost object, that he should return it to whoever comes claiming it with simanim, with identifying features. Just like if it would be lost from him, that it should also be returned to him with simanim. Because many times you don't have witnesses. Not everyone in the world knows that this is your jacket, and they're not going to be able to recognize specifically that it's yours. Therefore, just like when he finds it, although maybe he doesn't have to return it to anybody, because unless they come with witnesses, but he wants to return it to whoever comes with this image. Just like if he would lose something, what's called tikkun olam, that for the world, he would also prefer this idea that when he loses something, that he also should be able to use a simon to get it back, because else he won't be able to get it back. And therefore, they all are desirable of this concept of when it gets lost, that you can return it with the simon. So therefore, since he himself would want to get it back like that, so he also agrees to this and agrees, and that's why the Chum instituted this, that to return it with just a simon. On that, Amalei Rav Safel Rava, he asked him, wait a second. V'chi adam oisa teiva la'atzmai. Could a person do a favor for himself, b'mamon she'ena shalai, with money that's not him? In other words, who cares that it's pleasing for the one who finds it, but if the one that it's lost from, who is the real owner, he doesn't prefer that it should be returned with just a simon, because he doesn't want other people getting it if they happen to get the right simon. So what's going on over here? Why should that be a reason that the Chum would say, you know what, even the one who found it, he would like that, you know, he would get his lost object back like that with simanim. So we require him to return it like that too. But who cares that he likes it? But who is the real owner who gets to decide what should happen with it? The one who lost it. Now, he doesn't want people necessarily to give it back with simanim. We're saying that the one who found it would want it. So why are we saying the one who found it? That's not important. We should focus on the one who lost it, because he's the one that it's actually his. And we would say that even he would like it if it was lost. As so that the Gemara says, Ella, rather, what Rava did say was, Nichalei Labala Veda. It's preferable for the one who lost it that this halacha should be in the Jewish people, L'meyev Simonim Ulemishkalei, to give an identifying feature and then to be able to take it. And whoever comes and gives a simon could take it. Now, what's the reason? As follows, Meida yada de edim lesle. He knows that he doesn't have witnesses. As Rashi says, sometimes, as we said before, most objects that a person has probably, he doesn't have witnesses that could say that we know that it's his. And therefore, if I'm going to have to get witnesses every time I lose something, I'm never going to get back my object. So therefore, umeimer amar, he then says to himself that it's better for me that, you know what, it should be returned to whoever gives a simon for it. Because it's not so common that people should have the simon on my object but myself. Because most of the people in the world, they don't know my clear cut. They don't wear my jacket every day. They don't know where there's that little cut over there. I know because I see this all the day. I will give clear cut simonim about it, and therefore I'm going to take it. And therefore, not that the one who finds it prefers it like that, but rather the one who loses it, he wants it also. So therefore, since the one who owns it, who he gets to decide what should be the halacha, he and all people who lose objects, they want that simanim should be able to get it back. Just like if a person would need a key to get in his house, I'm going to lose the key. You know what? Let's make a combination so that, you know, even though maybe other people get the combination, but I need to get into the house myself. So too over here, he prefers the concept of simanim, so that because who knows my combination already? Who knows the simon? but me, and therefore they prefer some on them because if you're going to need to have Edom, even the owner himself is not going to be able to get his object back. But now the Gemara asks on this, Elohad itnan, but based on this that we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Amad Aleph, the Mishnah said, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Reb Shimon Gamliel says, and the Mishnah there is talking about when the person finds different documents. So Reb Shimon Gamliel said, regarding a case when you find three documents together, depending on what do they say on it, will tell us who to return it to. So he says, Echad Haleva Mishleisha, if the three documents have the same borrower, but three different lenders, Yachsel Haleva, you return it to the borrower. And that is, he obviously paid back the loans, and that's why he has the documents of the loan. Usually the lender holds on to it. It says that Reuven borrowed from Shimon $200. Shimon gets to hold on to it. He could prove that he borrowed from him. And when he pays up, he gets the document back. So here, when you have three of the same borrowers, why would three different lenders have it lost from them and together in the same pile? Obviously, it was the borrower. He paid up, and he lost those documents that he had paid up on them. Therefore, when you find it, you return it to him. And Shleisha Shalavu Munechad, however, if you have that the documents are three of the same, they're all the same lender, and they're all three different borrowers, then Yachzul L'malva, the other halacha is that you return it to the lender, because again, the same idea about what are they doing, three different borrowers from the same lender, obviously it fell from the lender. Now, this is, as the Mishnah tells us over there, that you return it to him even without witnesses. Just with this siman that when you say, oh, I found documents, and he says, oh, there were three of them, and they were from three different borrowers. I could even tell you the names of the borrowers. And that's difficult because if it fell from the borrower, let's say it fell from the borrower, that let's say he had already paid it up. On that, the Gemara asks that, Nichalei Laleva, do you think this is preferable for the borrower with this takana that you're talking about? Laduri Le Lamalva, to return it to the lender? And that is, we just answered in the Gemara that yes, we return things with simanim because the real owner, we could vouch that he prefers it being given back with simanim. But that the Gemara asked, is that really so? Let's say the one who lost this was really the borrower. This that it had three different borrowers and one lender. That we don't know for sure. The lender here is giving us simanim and telling us, oh, it had my name and it had these different borrowers. Maybe it happened to be that this borrower did pay up already. And therefore, he doesn't prefer that the one who finds it should give it back to whoever gives the simon, because in this case, he would always prefer it to stay in the hand of the one who found it forever. In other words, he doesn't want to be able to get it back, because as long as it stays in the hand of the one who finds it, and he doesn't return it to anybody, including the lender, then it's like they're burnt, it has no value anymore, because he doesn't want it to be given back with simonim, because what might happen is that there is that chance that someone else, including the lender, will know the simon, and he's going to get it back, and poof, I paid him up the loan of $1,000, it was lost, I fell for me, someone found it, he gives the simon, he gets it back, and now he shows, document, you owe me $1,000, you got to pay up, but it was really lost for me. In this case, he doesn't want simon at all, because what's going to happen? Let's say I can't get it back. Fine, I don't get it back. I don't need it. I just don't want him to get it because I have no need for this document. It just shows I can rip it up. I don't have that I owe him. But if he gets it back, then he's going to be able to collect with it. So here you have a case of a simon that is not nichalei to the possible owner who is the leiva, and yet still we say that we return it to the malva. So we see that simonim will work even though it's not preferable for the real owner under all circumstances. So why over there do we say that we return it to the malva? That's the Gemara's question. So on that, Amalehi responded to him, Hasam over there, that's a totally different case. There, regarding that simon, we don't care about what the leiva feels. Because Svaruhu, it's logical to say that it did not fall from the borrower, and that these documents were from the lender, because what are these two other borrowers doing by this one borrower? And that is, as the Gemara explains, Echad Haloiva Mishleisha, when there's one borrower from the three lenders, then Yachzal Loiva, then you return it to the borrower. Why? The Gabaloiva Shchichi, because we say that it's found by the borrower, Gabi Mavale Shchichi. It's not common to have it by the lender, because what is this lender, who's only one of the three lenders, doing by him? It makes sense that Shmamina Miloiva Nafal. It obviously, it's a Svara, that it fell from the borrower. We don't assume at all that it fell from the lender, because again, he's only one out of the three lenders, and there's one borrower. Who did it fall from? If the three together, it fell from the borrower. And now Shleisha Shalavu Me'achad, when you have three people that borrowed from one lender, Yachzal Amalva, then you return it to the lender. But then we ask why? Why do you return it to the lender? Maybe the real owner is the borrower, and now he doesn't prefer that it be given back with Simonim because it could only make it worse for him. He has nothing to gain with Simonim. Because the Gabi Malva Shchichi, it's a Svara to say. We don't care what he feels, even if he is the right one. Logic tells us that it's commonly found by the lender because he's the one lender in all these three documents. And Gabi Levele Shchichi, it doesn't make sense to be by the borrower, and that's why it's not difficult from that Mishnah on the Svara that we said. The halacha will always be that the one who really owns it prefers that it be given back with someone, because what are the odds that someone will be able to figure it out? He wants, because or else I'm not going to be able to get it back myself, the real owner says. Who? I have aid them that to prove that it's mine? And although the Mishnah Daf Chaf has a case, which seems like that he would not want under any circumstance to be given back with Simanim, but that is a different halacha because there a Svara tells us. We don't care what he feels. A Svara logic dictates to us when we have this come in front of us, in front of Bezin, we say, look, it's all three from the same person, whether it be the Malva or the Laiva, we're going to give it back to that person based on that Svara, and he's coming with the Simen. That's why it's not a question on the Svara and the Takan of the Chamim, why they instituted Simanim Dirabanan.